Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen in. Previously on The Rundown with David Jecker.
Sometimes I can look back at my training and like, oh, why I was doing so poorly like that year. And then you remember, oh, maybe I was just not eating enough. I think we've heard like really fast run. I think Cam Levins just smashed the Canadian marathon record. And he basically said, oh, I've just started eating like enough now. So that's basically the big difference for him. It's not like any crazy new shoes or any different training. It's just, oh, I started to eat more, now I'm faster.
On this episode of The Rundown, I had an awesome chat with distance runner and community builder, Robbie Tubajon. I've had the pleasure of meeting Rob at a few running events throughout the years, and simply put, his energy is contagious. He has the ability to raise people up, support them, and help them grow. It's not only his passion, but it's his job too. Whether it's at a race weekend, long distance relay, or world major, Rob always brings a positivity and a great big smile wherever he goes. This episode of The Rundown is brought to you by Exact Nutrition. It's no secret that proper fueling leads to better performance. Now with tasty energy bars, protein bars, and electrolyte tablets, Exact Nutrition has got you covered before, during, and after your run. They even have a plant-based option. They currently ship to Canada and the US, so order yourself a sample pack and give them a try. You'll even receive 15% off your order when you use the promo code LARUNDOWN. So go to exactnutrition.com and fuel your goals today. In this week's news, it's the New York City Marathon this weekend, so if you're out there running it, good luck. Training is in the bank, so go out there and enjoy it. Last time for me was back in 2019, and was it ever a cool experience. The things that stuck out to me definitely were the start on Verrazano Bridge, where thousands lined up to take on New York, and of course, running through the five boroughs, feeling all the vibes and diversity throughout the city. Also, if there's one place to see a celebrity or two, it's in New York. Headlining this year's race are Ashton Kutcher of That 70 Show and Ellie Kemper of The Office, both of which are running for charity on November 6th. Make sure to check the show notes for links to this event, special offerings, as well as the ongoing protests. There will also be a list of funds and foundations that need your support, so please consider donating to help support this movement. That's all for now. Gotta run. Throughout my running career, you could say, I've been part of some pretty special events, taking me back to CWEs in Vancouver or my first Boston. And there's one person that I got to meet at these events that kind of made those kind of events happen and made them special. He's somebody that I've wanted to have on the pod for a while. He's a big community builder and a runner himself, and always brings this amazing energy with him wherever he goes. So I'd like to welcome to the show, Robbie Tubajon.
For having me. This is really exciting.
Yeah, thanks. I know we've been like talking about it for a while to have you on, and you know, those events are always so hectic, so it's kind of hard to connect, really, you know. So I'm happy we can kind of sit here and have this chat today.
Me too. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, so just to kind of kick it off, you've been up to some pretty fun stuff lately, coming off of Toronto Race Weekend, which was a big event. And then, you know, following it up with a relay from Toronto to Montreal. You want to share that with us a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know if I planned this one out very well. but hey, it is what it is, right? I mean, so yeah, we've been planning to do some big experiences around the TCS Toronto half and full marathon, Bridge the Gap, which is, I don't even know how to describe what it is. It's like a running culture experience that has been passed along from city to city. I think it started in London with Charlie Dark and his crew, Run Dem crew, and really this idea of bringing together run crews from all over the world to celebrate run and run crew culture in specific cities. And Toronto was selected as the city to do Bridge the Gap this year, or at least they decided they wanted to do it here. And so, you know, luckily enough, I was, you know, I am working very closely with the Parkdale Roadrunners here in Toronto, which in my opinion are one of the most amazing crews I've ever seen in terms of not only the running and the runners that are involved, but the community and how they go about it, how they really think about each individual and how inclusive they are, but also how much they want to impact the community. And so when Mike and Lisa approached me in terms of supporting Bridge the Gap, I was like, absolutely. You know, and Justin, who's one of the other captains as well, is like a big proponent of this energy. And so like, it just made sense for me to jump in and really support from a Lululemon perspective. And then, so we had 4 days of that, which ultimately culminated in the race on the Sunday. And then 3 days later, I'm jumping into an RV with another run crew with a newer run crew in Toronto, a bunch of guys, Me Versus Me. And they asked me months ago to join their team. And like I said, I didn't plan it out very well, but it is what it is. And we hopped into the RV, started our run here from Toronto, and then finished in Montreal on Friday night. And it was amazing. It was so much fun. So yeah, it's been a little busy. I'm a little tired, but it's these core memories that running brings to me that I'm never going to forget.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, and so that team, I think Quinton Jacobs was part of that team too, that you joined.
Yes, he was the vibe.
Yeah. I mean, and they're coming off of a huge month, you could say. I met them in Berlin, and then they went on to do the Chicago, and then they did the relay before the race weekend from Niagara to Toronto. I mean, it's endless, you know. But glad you kind of got to jump into that experience too, and enjoy it, you know.
I don't know how they do it though. Justin, I have no idea how they do it, because maybe I'm just getting old, but like they have an energy that is just like amazing. And I mean, you see it every time you see them when they're racing and they're hanging out and cheering each other on. There's like an energy. It's not this like we're gonna hang out on the sidelines and just kind of like passively cheer. Like they are in it. So it's a super, super unique run community that not only is here in Toronto, but all of the offshoot connections that they've made in different parts of the world, like in Montreal, in New Orleans, in Boston, in New York. And so it's actually got me really inspired to plan my year out properly next year to make sure I'm either running or supporting in any of the cities that they're running in.
So good. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and it takes that, right? When you want to be there, you know, like logistically speaking, you talk about them, like, how much they do and where they're showing up. It's like, logistically speaking, you're like, how is that even possible? You know, it's like, we're not talking like cities here. We're talking like countries. So it's, yeah, it's pretty, pretty awesome to see. Like, can you explain to me like what you saw? Like, you've been around community for so long, you know, what was your take from the weekend for anybody looking from the outside? Like you know, I wasn't around, and I love that race. I love Toronto Race Weekend. It's one of my favorite marathons, but unfortunately couldn't be there that weekend. But just like, you know, crews and cliques, I mean, they're some play nice, some don't, like, you know, like it's really sometimes a touchy thing, you could say. I'd like to think that everyone can just get along, but you know, like, it's kind of like, I don't know how to say it, but everyone wants to make their stamp, you know, make their mark kind of thing. And, but it looked like a great, place where everyone came together and just like, you can tell who was with who and what was what.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You know what, you're absolutely right. Like, there's this weird fine line within running clubs and run crews, that border on this weird edge of, we can be inclusive and yet we can be exclusive at the same time. And I think what I what I've been recognizing, especially with Parkdale and with the crews that are, that were involved with Bridge the Gap, was that there's like such a amazing inclusivity. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, like, yes, running is the medium to at which people are like congregating around. But there's so much else. There's so much more. There's art, there's music, there's development. Like, there's just so much more to it that I think that makes it more inclusive. And, you know, and that's not to say that these crews don't care about their times when they're running. Like, they do. Like, a lot of them, there's this idea that, you know, you need to push yourself and you want to achieve personal bests and whatnot. But I think the difference that I feel is that, like, it's getting personal best is, and like achieving something that's great for yourself almost becomes secondary to what the group can achieve. And it's almost secondary to how these groups come together, right? And, you know, I was in a, this, the role that I'm in right now is different from the role that I was in previously. I was, we had a role at Lululemon called, I don't know, can remember what it was called, the Run Community Manager for North America. It's a very short lived role because we were just trying to think about how do we support run in North America. And I had to do a lot of work in understanding the difference between run crew culture and running clubs. And so what I found was that running clubs can, you know, generally speaking, are catering towards people that are like specifically joining the crew in order to be able to achieve a specific time in a race. And so a lot of the workouts are very regimented. A lot of the conversations don't go past what you would talk about in terms of running. Whereas I found run crew culture, when I, as I started to like connect with all of these crews across North America, like there's so many different red threads that run through rather than just running. Like I said before, like music, art, entrepreneurship, it really becomes a place where it's like a, it becomes like this scope of different interests and a meeting place for people to, you know, connect on those interests. And so that, that was a different feeling that I got. From even like with the Seawees, when I used to work on the Seawees team, the, you know, there's community and culture that's, that was attached to that race, but, being able to see the different cultures come into Toronto from like London and from Mexico City and from New Orleans, this is like super cool, man. Really cool.
Mm-hmm. That is cool. Yeah. Yeah. And I think about you too, like as you enter all these new endeavors and grow in your own career and your own running, how do you possibly, like, you know, we could say that these things change quite rapidly, you know, so not only do you have to stay with the times in terms of running in general, but also like how different these cities can be, these crews or clubs can be, and like how do you feel like you fit into that, you know? Is that difficult to find your way or find your space when you're entering into something that's totally new and different?
Personally no. Like, I mean, I love running first and foremost. Like, I've been a runner for over 15 years now, a distance runner for over 15 years. But I'm also like a community person, and I'd love to connect with people, and I love to learn. I love to be curious. I meet so many cool, interesting people that I would never meet anywhere else, and people that I never would thought would be runners. I meet, and then people that I thought that I knew were runners, but then also have a business or are a chef. There's a really interesting crew that I'm connected to here called the Food Runners, run by a guy named Chuck Ortiz. And he basically started this run group about 8 years ago to support the like adoption of a healthy lifestyle for people within the restaurant industry. And so for 8 years straight, every Wednesday, he's been leading a run for people who are like either chefs or like people working in the front of house, back of house. And you know, I hang with them and understanding their lives and what they're up to. Man, like, it's awesome. I I think it's so cool. And so for me to be able just to be a part of those groups and then the conversations that come along with it is just, it makes it really easy for me, because I think I'm just very interested in the human condition, not as it just pertains to running, but everything else.
Right. And it can be for everybody and anyone. And what connects them is the job, you know, mm-hmm. or the industry that they're in, mm-hmm. but they also share like similar schedules, and, you know, maybe they, like, I don't know if they're probably running, you know, at lunchtime or like,
yeah,
in the morning, or, you know, cause nighttime they're working in the restaurant, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We like, it's every Wednesday at 8:15 AM. And we literally just started, I've hired a couple of our ambassadors to teach them yoga and every Monday. So really starting to like bring in more conversations around like what are the different things that could support their running and their health. But I would have never met these people if it wasn't for Chuck, and if it wasn't for, you know, his thought around and passion around making sure that the restaurant industry is being supported.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. It's awesome that you can do that, and you can help them too, you know, and that's what it's about at the end of the day, right? It's like helping them along and so they can enjoy running even more, you know? So
totally. Yeah.
That's great. Rob, tell me about you, you know, like tell me about, you know, how you grew up, where you grew up. Were you really active as a kid? Like, I want to know, you know, when did you discover running and how did you fall in love with
yeah.
that?
Yeah. You know, honestly, Justin, I have no idea how I became athletic. There's nobody else in my family that is even remotely, gosh, I hope they don't listen to this. It's not that they're unhealthy, but they just weren't, they're just not as into athletics as I was. For some reason, I just got into it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm a short Filipino kid, you know, and so I was a sprinter. I loved to play basketball. I loved to play soccer. I would only do like the 100 and 200 meter sprints. And the second that we went into 400 and 800s, I would explode. I could not do it. So it's interesting to think about me where I am now being a distance runner versus when I was growing up, because all I wanted to do was like the sprints. And I think I was just conditioned to do the sprints. And I actually hated track and field when I was growing up. Now you can't keep me away from the track, like try to do it every week. But, you know, I was really into sports. And then, I don't know, man, something clicked after university. And I think I was just like looking for challenges. And somebody had said, hey, listen, maybe you should do a half marathon and try that out, because you've done a 10K and you did pretty well. So I did what I'm gonna tell people, your listeners, what not to do after training for a half, okay. marathon is somebody a week before the marathon, somebody said, hey, you're training for a half marathon, you might as well just do the full. And so there's a Vancouver the Vancouver BMO Vancouver Marathon. I can't remember what year it was, 2006, 2007, or whatever it was. I do the full marathon and I absolutely just explode, you know, just not train for it. It was probably the toughest thing I've ever done in my entire life. And for whatever sick reason, it got me hooked to wanting to do another one. That led me on the path to running four more marathons. That was kind of like the origin story there. Like it was a weird dare that got me into distance running. You know, for the most part, I think I'm one of these people, one of these like athletically inclined people that I can play any sport. I feel like I love sports, but the, you know, running really fulfills a lot of, it checks a lot of the boxes for me in terms of physical health and in terms of mental health as well in community.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what did the training look like early on? Like for you, were you, you know, coached or were you serious about it? Or was it like me, I went out and ran as hard as I could every time I went out.
I'm pretty sure I found a Hal Higdon program that I used for everything. And it's like, I had the printouts back in the day where the internet wasn't the greatest. And so I had a Hal Higdon training schedule that I followed. And then I found a coach. I found a group in Vancouver that was coached by this guy named Sparky Wickstead. And after that, I kind of started to fall in love with the idea of, you know, really making my programming dynamic and changing it based on what I need and what my body needed. So, and funny enough, speaking about coaching, like I'm actually thinking this next year that I'm going to hire a coach to take me through next year, as I am feeling like I want to do some bigger things within my running journey.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And what led you to that?
I think it's infectious, man. Once you see everybody else around you doing things, like I haven't done a marathon in 10 years, Justin, and seeing Quentin and the crew doing Berlin, doing Chicago, seeing a whole bunch of other people do all these races over the last, you know, year and a half since all the races have opened again, it's piqued my interest in not only just in a marathon, but man, what a great way to see a city, to go and to travel. And that's the way that I want to travel these days. I want to travel. I want to do a race. I want to hang out and, be with like-minded people. Like that is, I think, the first thing. And then the second part is like, this challenge. I'm getting to this point where I'm 47 years old. My body, I feel like I have the fitness of me when I was 37. So it's this interesting challenge that I'm putting out to myself. Like where could I get to at this age, you know, over the course of these years when I put on so much mileage, can I still function at and perform at a high level, even though I'm getting older? So I feel like I'm just like using myself as like a science project this next year. Like what can I do to like tweak and, you know, use my coach and nutrition and recovery and everything that's at my fingertips to be able to get the best possible performance out of me.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'll strive to be like you when I'm 47, you got 10 years on me, but, I'm kind of thinking the same things, mm-hmm. like in terms of, I don't have a number in mind. It's just like, how fit can I be for as long as I can, you know, how like, can I get the fitness to be able to do the things I want to do, you know, like, and that's really how I'm framing it for myself anyways, that I just want to be fit enough to be able to do these things for as long as I can do them.
Yeah, no, I love that, Justin. And I think that there, it's not, I love what you just said there about like, it's not necessarily a number, right? Like the fact that I was able to go out, do a half marathon at almost my PB, I did maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. So the fact that I was able to get to a point where I was like a couple minutes off during that half marathon in Toronto, amazing. Okay, great. I go 3 days recovery, and then I go to an ultra marathon relay with a bunch of friends. And it was actually astounded by how good I felt and how, first of all, from a numbers perspective, you know, every leg that I had, I tried to keep it under a 5 minute kilometer, and I was able to do that. Great. Unbelievable. But it was even less about that. It was like the fact that my legs felt so good and I felt so strong. And that's the feeling that I'm addicted to. It reminds me of the time. It reminds mm-hmm. me of when I was like younger. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but like, remember when you were a kid and then you would just like play sports all day during the summer. And like you go and you run around and you're just like playing with your friends and you're playing basketball and whatever it is that you played. And then you'd get up the next day and you would do it again. And you just do it like multiple days in a row. You know what I'm saying? And there was never any thought about like, oh man, I'm tired. I should take a rest day today, or I'm sore. It was like, no, we need to play, you know, like, and whatever we need to do to figure it out, like, we'll just get through it. And so I don't know, maybe it's that I'm reconnecting to that like moment in time when I was younger and could just do things all the time and feel like I have the energy, and maybe it's the vitality that's becoming more addictive right now. It's the feeling that like, yeah, I can do anything at any time. Although I do need a nap. I really mm-hmm. do need a nap later today.
I won't lie. I took one today.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I love that. And I always think about, you know, I find it funny when people say like, oh, I can't run, or I'm like, we all ran as kids. We all did it, you know, and similar to what you're saying, like, yeah, you know, I'd go, you know, like full days of sports and then the next day, full days. And then what would you do? Like, what, you're thirsty, you get water, you're hungry, you eat, and then you go continue what you're doing, you know? And I mean, we also didn't have responsibilities and, you know, things to pay for and all these things, you know? But just that, like, that innocence almost behind it. And I think that's, to your point, I think I've kind of thought about that too. Just like go and do it. Just go and do the running. Go and practice. You know, this is all, I use that this year too, the word practice. Like we put so much emphasis on the word like training and how like professional that sounds, yeah. You know? But when I think about it in terms of practice, like I practice sports, I practice hockey, I practice everything, you know? And the practice days don't always go great, but that's what it's there for. It's there to like, to show you that you can or you cannot do it. And then you go, come back the next day and try again. And that's what builds skills and fitness over time. It's not, you know, one race, you know, is a race, you know, but I think in the big picture, you know, what it's doing to us physiologically, mentally, all those things, I think that's way more important.
No, I love that you said that, man. And Justin, I'll take it a step further. And I'll say that there's an element of play that's involved. And I can't remember where I read it just recently about like the importance of play, not only for children, but for adults. Like think about how much like adults are not in this mindset, or how we're told not to play, and we're told to be serious, and we're told to be adults, and we're told to be, you know, responsible. But there's some study that I read about like the importance of play and how that actually contributes to your health and wellness and your fulfillment. And so play could look like anything, right? Like play could literally be playing board games, or people love going to bars and playing board games now, or like, you know, with the advent of stuff like escape rooms and stuff like this, like to get adults to play more. And I think, you know, when I think about running, I never used to associate running with playing, but like I'll go back to when we were just, you know, we were in the RVs, driving to Montreal while people were running. You know, we're not doing anything in the RV except like really gabbing about nothing and joking around and having fun. And the running part was like cheering and supporting. And so there's this element of like play that I think is involved that becomes so important that I don't think people really understand how run could be viewed as a way to play. And mm-hmm. You know, and I think some of these like relay races are really great. Like think about the amazing race that's out there, you know, on TV. Like these guys are running half the time, but they're also doing these weird challenges and stuff. So I don't know. There's something that's really important there for people in terms of just like being able to tap into like their inner child when they're out there running. Because you're right, man. We used to run all the time, and everyone. Yeah.
Everything. and that's that relay style. I've done a run around Montreal in relay form. It was about 125k. But yeah, Darren Waldrick, I've had him on the show too, and you know, he put together that, you know, run to Montreal. And you know, it's a special kind of event where it's kind of performance, it's a lot of fun, it's got the connection aspect, a competitive spirit too, to a certain extent. You know, even if you're not one of the competitive teams, there's always someone in front of you and back of you, you know, so there's all that and the strategy and all and everything that goes into it, you know. So yeah, how was that experience for you? Like, did you know your team like fully? Did you get to connect with people that you didn't expect?
I mean, I knew them all from the run group, but I'd never spent that much time with them. And I was was a little nervous, but not because of who I think who they are, but just because like they Me Versus Me started during the pandemic, and they, because of that, they developed like super, super tight bonds over the course of a year and a half. And I kind of show up, I start running with them, hanging out with them, supporting them, whatnot. But they had already like created this family feeling. And it's a testament to them, because like now I feel like I'm a part of the family after this past weekend. You know, they were just so welcoming and so inviting. And so, you know, it really wasn't difficult to, you know, connect with them. And I would say that like anybody who's ever thinking about doing one of these relay races, if you want to get to know people in on a deep and meaningful way, do a relay with them where you get to like hang out in RV, where you don't take showers, where you're eating ramen noodles and plain bagels, where you're having to go to the bathroom like right outside the RV, and then also running with people at 2 a.m. in the pitch dark, you know, with headlamps and, you know, a bike trailing you. Like that, there's nothing that gets people more connected than this idea of shared suffering, or this idea of like battling a common enemy, right? And so, you know, our enemy was I don't want to say it was like the other teams, because like whatever, we didn't care like how we finished, but it was like, yeah. How do we battle sleep deprivation? How do we battle, you know, our ability to navigate areas that we didn't know? How do we battle, you know, the different types of injuries or like things that each one of us would have to go through and have to support each other on, and like the unpredictability of like when we're going to run? So that, you know, I mean, we have this group chat that's just has not stopped firing off about the weekend, and it's really cool, man. Like I highly recommend anybody to do, and they don't have to do the run to Montreal, because that's like a beast. 650 kilometers, that's a beast.
Yeah,
a Ragnar is fine.
Yeah,
like half the distance. Ragnar relays are great. Hood to Coast, yeah.
Oh, I love to do Hood. I got invited to do one. And I couldn't, I mean, it wasn't the right time for me, like financially. It wouldn't have been responsible of me to go. But man, I wish I did. Yeah. Like I like to do everything, you know, I want to do all the things.
Yeah, these aren't cheap sometimes. But I mean, like I said, at the end of the day, I've prioritized races and race experiences to be my vacations, right? So that I can go to different places and like still be a tourist in the city, but then to see the city from my feet, you know?
Right. Yeah, totally. What led you to, you know, everything you're doing now? Like, I know you love running, you love community, but you actually do it as a job, you know? So, and it seems perfect for you, you know, it doesn't look like much work, you know, because it's so natural for you. What led you there? Is that something that you ever envisioned or expected?
I thought I was going to be a physiotherapist or like a university professor. I never thought that I would be working for Lululemon in the capacity that I am within community. And, I think about my core values, and my core values, it's very clear that one of my core values is connection. And so the reason why it feels and it looks natural for me is because that's where I want to be. That's where I need to be in order to feel like I'm moving towards fulfillment. Like I need to be connecting with people. I need to be connecting with myself. I need to be understanding how to support people and their journeys to fulfillment and their journeys to impacting others. Like, gosh, man, I'm so happy that I think you had Quentin on the show as well. But like he's the perfect example of someone that all I want to do is be around him. All I want to do is support him and elevate him because I think what he does for the world is so beautiful. And I can say that for a lot of the people that I've been able to support through my job as the ambassador program manager for a while, through my role within that run community lead. You know, I got to meet some of the most amazing run leaders like Sid Baptiste in Boston, you know, Coffee in New York, Harold and Lindsay in New Orleans. And gosh, there's so many people that are out there that are doing amazing things through run that it makes it really easy for me to get behind them. And I feel like I'm good at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're very good at that, you know, and it shows in like the support you're giving them and you know, they are doing, you like you said, like if I use Quentin as an example, like where does this guy find the time to do all this amazing stuff that he's doing? But yet he finds the time to do it, and he puts a lot of effort into all the things that he's doing, and it makes the world a better place, you know, it really does. And it's super inspiring, you know, and you ask yourself the question when you look at somebody like that, like, what more can I do? How can I, you know, elevate or be part of something like that? Or, you know, where can I lend a helping hand, you know, in that? So
that's a good point, Justin.
And I think through the podcast too, I tend to forget that sometimes, but I'm like, well, you know, this podcast is a way to do it because I'm giving people an opportunity to share their story, share their voice, tell us what they're up to, and maybe draw some attention. I mean, this isn't a million view or listen podcast by any means, but to some capacity, like people get to find out what's going on around them and their communities.
So, and yeah. I think, you know, listen, I think that this podcast is so important. Not only just for people to hear the Quintons of the world and the Darrens of the world, but I also think that there's something that's super powerful about being able to help these people like see the beauty in what they do and be able to verbalize it themselves. Because in a lot of ways, like a lot of these guys, they don't know that they're jumping into this run, this world of impact. Through running, they don't know that that's what they're doing, but you know, having them actually speak it and put words to it and talk to you about it and like asking questions and really kind of drawing it out, it really helps them to live into their power and to live into their identity as impact makers. So I just want you to know that like this is important for people to hear, but I also think it's important for all the impact makers to like hear their own voices as they speak it. So you're doing important work.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And how has it impacted you? Like how has, you know, it does something to you too, when you're part of something like that. You know, I feel like when I got, you know, way back when I was, I didn't know what running was pretty much. Someone said, "Oh, you got to try this, you know, Lululemon clothes." And I was like dressed like Rocky and, you know, and then they got kitted up and you know, it's like, you feel good, you look good, you perform better. You know, but with that came like, you know, they opened my eyes to like, you know, things like visions and goals and goal setting and connecting with community. Like it opened me up to this world that I never knew existed, you know. It changed me to a certain extent. I got places and connected me with people that I never thought was possible. You do that all the time now, you know? So how has that, you know, impacted you in your own development?
I think what you're speaking of is culture, right? And I think there's this culture of growth and culture of impact that this work and these communities constantly remind me of. I'm constantly reminded that, you know, I need to grow, and that's not just faster, but it's like, you know, taking the time to take care of myself, taking the time to think about how I need to be supported, thinking about how knees can be uplifted if all you're doing is like running through them. You know, I think it really doing this type of work has changed me in the sense that like it has just kept me closer to the things that I think are most important to me. And so I don't know, man. Like it's funny because I was living in Miami before this, and obviously I was in Vancouver before that. But in every place that I lived in, like I've needed to be a part of the run community. Because I think that there's something that's grounding about it. There's something that is like humbling and nourishing about being a part of whatever run community. And, you know, for as different as some of these run crews and clubs are, there's a lot of values that run very consistently throughout them. And I can't say one is better than the other. I think it's just like the community at large is such a nourishing one for me. So it'll be very weird if you ever see me just like not ever come to any type of run community in my life. Yeah.
Yeah. And doesn't it always make it feel like home to a certain extent? Like, because you know that exists almost everywhere you'll go, you know?
It's like one of the most fun parts about working for Lululemon. And I used to travel a lot with some of my other jobs, but you know, the first thing that I would do was that I would like seek out in other cities, seek out run ambassadors, like Lululemon ambassadors, and then run clubs and run crews. And I would make it a point that every day I was at least running with one or if not two of them, just so that I can connect. And of course, it always is the same feeling. It's like, hey, what's up, man? Like, you like join us and you're a part of the crew now. And I've known you for about 5 minutes. So yeah, it's beautiful. I don't know, Justin, is there any other community around the world that you can think of that like is so inclusive? I mean, I can only think of like maybe CrossFit, but I don't know, CrossFit. I've been a part of CrossFit. It's kind of same, but a little bit different. I don't know, there's not very many like communities. Do you feel that too?
No. Yeah, I do. I definitely do. And I mean, through this podcast, I try and have some like continuity with the guests. So either somebody will drop a name or I'll meet somebody at a race or just to have this kind of, even though, you know, the runners might not be connected entirely, there is some kind of method to that and a natural flow to the guest list that we have on. So it's just like, I always say, like, I could keep this going till I die because there is endless people to talk to, endless inspirational stories. I mean, you're talking about it right now. And I always feel welcome wherever I go, and they're just people are everywhere. And it seems to be constantly evolving and constantly growing. How have you seen community evolve in your experience, you know, since you've entered that space?
Gosh. It's amazing. Like I said, I think before, in terms of the eclectic nature of who's being brought into communities now. So it's not just like I have to say this because like it's not the typical white male runner that wears the short split shorts that works in like a finance job. You know, like it's like, I'll give you an example, like Sid Baptiste in Boston, the Pioneers, predominantly black and brown run crew. You know, he has created this space for his community to come out and really enjoy running. I mean, you got the nationally known group Black Men Run all over, with chapters all over the United States. And so I think what I'm seeing is that, like, you know, there's real, true inclusivity that's occurring in a sport that, you know, we used to think was like super inclusive. But if anything has told us, especially the recent events have told us, like, running is not as inclusive as we would like it. Like, people can't just put on a pair of runners and just go out for a run and feel safe. Women, people of color and whatnot. And I think what's happening is that there are people like the Sids of the world, there are people like the Heralds of the world, and the coffees of the world that are like really opening up and creating these spaces so that running is truly accessible for everybody. And I think there's still a ways to go, but I see a really amazing momentum towards like running looking and feeling a lot different than it used to.
Mm. Is there ways that you personally think that things can get better, even better than they are right now? Or
it's a great question. I think of our company and how we've really embraced this idea of being in different spaces. We got behind, I don't know if you ever heard of what Sid was doing in Boston, you know, with the Boston Marathon, but he created a parallel race that wasn't in competition to obviously the Boston Marathon, but he just wanted to highlight the areas of Boston that people would not, like they didn't know that they could run through. And so he created an alternate route, the 26 mm-hmm. point true. And it was running through all the neighborhoods of Boston that were, you know, some underserved, some neglected. So I think that there's something around being able to support these innovators and these people that are creating these different inroads so that more people can be exposed to running. I think that that's one of the things that could happen. I think another part is destigmatizing run as punishment or like, remember how you and you're growing up and in PE class or whatever, or like if you were late for class or PE class, they would make you run laps or if you did something wrong. So there's a stigma about run that, you know, mm-hmm. you only do it if you're being punished, and running could be really fun. And so there's so many different like avenues and ways and techniques to like bring on running, like doing relay races, like Ragnar's versus doing, you know, straight up street races, trail running. Like there's so many different types of ways that people can enjoy run. And I think that like bringing those to light and exposing people to the different modules or ways or mediums of run that I think that they could, that they would like, you know, find their own path to enjoy, I think could be another way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It's constantly evolving, and the way we introduce it to people is mm-hmm. like that too, you know, and like you could say there's tons of people impacting their communities and thinking about these things and finding ways to make it, you know, more inclusive. And I think it's great. The more people we can have like that, the better. And I, like I said, I have them all on the show to kind of tell people about it and spread totally. The news, spread the good word, you know, because it's, wherever they may be. So is there like an initiative that you were part of in particular that really stands out to you that you're really proud of?
Gosh, I mean, oh, man. Yeah, I don't know.
But what are you most proud of, Rob?
Like I'm proud of a lot. But it's all because I think I'm proud of the people that I've been able to support and what they're up to. Okay, I'll tell you one thing that I'm proud of. I'm proud of like not knowing how to put on a race and being a part of the original Seaweeds team that brought Seaweeds to life back in 2011. Brought on as manager for that race, had no idea what I was doing. We pulled it off and we created something that, you know, was very different from what was being seen in the run community, and then created something that was very unique to Lululemon and became a legacy piece for the 10 years that it was in existence. Like that I'm super proud of. But I think for the most part, I think I'm more proud of everything that I've been seeing the people that we're in support of doing. That part's really cool. And I'm just, you know, I'd say that I'm really proud of the support that we were able to give to Lisa, Mike, and Justin and Michelle for the Parkdale Roadrunners here, and them being able to pull off Bridge the Gap, which is a massive success. But it's more of me being them and them having the vision to be able to, and the courage to be able to take something like that on and pull it off in the way that they did. And I'm proud of just like being a part and being a real integral part of like specific groups out there, like the Me Versus Me guys. Like I said, they just started a year and a half ago and they have this unbelievable momentum and they're really bringing to light this idea that people within the downtown core of Toronto, being predominantly Black and Brown crew, like they are attracting people that have never done any type of races before. Like there was one kid that came on the run to Montreal and he had never been in an RV before, never done a race like this before, and it was so cool to Quentin. Actually, he was texting back and forth during the race with Quentin, and Quentin was showing me all the texts, and you know, there were just these words of wonderment, being like, I just finished my leg, it was like in heaven. I don't know what this is all about, but this is like the most beautiful thing I've ever done in my life. And so hearing things like that, and it is just like I'm hooked.
I have an idea just from what you said. Like I think they should that you could do like a documentary where you just kidnap people in a relay race and then like document the whole thing.
I honestly think that it would be hilarious.
You know, the whole,
and I think it'd be super impactful for people to see, because like, you know, on first glance, when you say, when we were to say like, hey, we're going to run from, you know, Toronto to Montreal, people are like, what? That's nuts. Right. But then
you're nuts.
The way in which we did it and the way in which that it worked made it very like digestible for people to be able to do. And, you know, it wasn't easy. Definitely wasn't easy, but they still did it. And so I think, it could be a really cool thing to be able to almost bring people in and have them not understand what they're getting into, and then have them do it. And just, you know, that for them, that's it. That's their Everest, you know, that's climbing a mountain that they thought was insurmountable. So.
Yeah. And I think that's when you say it like that, it makes me think that, you know, running's taught me so much. Like, it's like, oh man, when you break it down, when you see a big goal and then you break it down into these little pieces or legs in a relay, or, you know, it just somehow seems more manageable, you know. And I think that's just one of many lessons that running's taught me, that you can just break it down and then take on anything, you know, with the right, you know, strategy and mindset, and taking on all the little pieces.
Yeah.
You know,
like what's your biggest lesson that you learned?
Oh, geez. I'd just be say like, well, have fun. I mean, this is like, I always try and have fun in what I'm doing, but like, especially running, I keep it light and be patient with yourself. You know, it's, it doesn't happen overnight. You can't, you know, it's like right now I'm training for marathons, and, you know, it doesn't happen quickly. It takes sometimes years and years before you can, you know, reach your full potential in that distance, let's say. And I just always come at it with like, you know, be patient, be kind to yourself, and be grateful that you can do these things. I think those are the main things that I'm always kind of coming back to, you know. What about you?
For me, it is this like re-adoption of the idea that I can break a lot of perceived barriers. So, you know, for a while I was thinking like my age is what's gonna cause me to slow down. But what I'm proving to myself is that it's actually making me speed up. And there are a lot of other things too, like I can't train as much as I need to in order to be proficient, and I don't have the time or I don't have the energy. And it's like, that's bull. I could totally do it. I could totally find time. So I think that it's like a lesson in all these perceived barriers in my head, that they're once again perceived. They're not real. And I can break through them.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that can connect with a lot of people. I think especially with, you know, people who are just getting into the sport, or, you know, they join a run crew or a run club, and, you know, it's, they're seeing all these different types of runners around them, and how they fit into that picture too can sometimes be confusing. You know, I feel like, you know, jumping up to the marathon seems like a great idea, but it really just, it takes time. And like you say, like getting through, you know, barriers, we're all coming from different places and are faced with different circumstances and we're all different walks of life, some with family, some with kids, stressful jobs. I mean, there's so many things beyond that, you know, that become, you know, challenges or obstacles that get in the way of the running. But, you know, like, you know, knowing why you do it too, I think is important. I think that's
such
always
a good
keeping
point.
That in focus, I think is, yeah.
Well, okay, wait, why do you do it?
Well, like, I think it's just, and I think, oh, I think what you're saying about age too is a funny thing, you know, because if we look around us, you know, some of like on the Canadian female side, you know, records are being broken and destroyed by Melindy Elmore and like now Tasha Wotak in the marathon, and you know, they're not the youngest anymore. So I'm like, well, Kipchoge is my age, so you know what, he can do it. Why not, right? But it's just a number. But I think, exactly. You know, I think I do it for, I mean, I think the pandemic definitely showed me this more than ever, that, you know, no one had races, no one had anything going on, but I was just getting out the door. And some days, I mean, I wasn't following a real plan at that time. And some days it was slow to clear my head. Some days I had to let out some energy. So it was fast or like a tempo or some speed work, whatever I felt like that day. And I think just that I need to move, and I know that about myself, like I need to let out that energy. And then how it comes out is always different. But I think that the key component there is movement and fitness and health, and whether it's mental and physical. But yeah, I think that's really, you know, it just comes down to fitness for me. It's just like, I want to be as healthy as I can be for as long as I can be, you know? And I mean, I switched to vegan diet and stuff too, like, you know, 5 years ago now. So that's part of that too. But just like all around good health. And I think that's really the main thing, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And I would imagine that like you're, because of that, you're showing up as a more powerful human being. You're showing up as someone that can, in the community, that could be supportive of others. There's something that I think that, you know, even by you putting on this podcast, like this, there's, in order for you to be your best, like there's a specific level that you have to be able to get to, and a feeling that you need to feel, and everything that you just talked about there gets you there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's given me everything, right? Like, I mean, brought me here to this podcast too, you know, it's given me opportunities, and I think it's just a balance of all that, but you know, the running keeps me balanced too at the same time. And yeah, it's funny, you get people coming up to you and say, oh, like, it doesn't happen super often, but people would say like, oh, I love the show or this episode, or like, I listen all the time. And you know, that connects me to runners too, that I never, you know, met before as well. And you realize that sometimes it's difficult with audio because you don't know who's listening, you know, really, but they let you know if they like it. And, you know, my hope is that it impacts people and that they get something out of these conversations. And, you know, it helps me too. I get to learn about people and, you know, get inspired by folks. So I'm hoping that if it inspires me, it's going to inspire them too, right? So, yeah, why do you run? What's your why?
I used to think it was because I needed to be super fit, but like, honestly, it's connection. I can connect with people that run fast. I can connect with people that run really slow. I can connect with people that are thinking about wanting to run a 5K versus people who run ultra marathons. Like, it's, for me, it's like the ultimate vehicle to be able to connect with other human beings. And it's like an access point, right? It's the easiest way to just like stroll up on somebody as you're running and just be like, yo, how do you been out here, you know? And like being able to, you know, we're all battling the same the same physics, the same amount of gravity, you know, like, and so it's for me, it's like this ultimate equalizer. So I love it because I can connect, you know, and every day I run, it's almost like irresponsible, Justin. I was gonna run with the food runners, and I did the responsible thing, and I just biked beside them. Mm. But I was still able to talk to them, and I was cheering, and I was helping them. I was taking videos of them so they can have content. I do it for the connection.
Mm. Yeah, and that's always like, it's always great, you know. I remember like running with groups, and like, you know, I always run at the back of the pack, you know, I always liked that, you know, to push the back and mm-hmm. run easy, you know, it's good to run easy, you know, and it keeps you honest. Right. But some mm-hmm. of the best conversations you have are back there, and you get to, you know, it's inspired by some pretty amazing people. Like I met a couple and they were just starting out, and we were doing these runs in the winter and the cold weather in Montreal, and you know, they weren't the fastest by any means, but you know, we just hung out back there. They wanted to do longer distance, and you know, now they're you know, running marathons and ultra relays and ultra trail runs, and I'm like, this has got to be within the last 5-6 years, you know. And it's like, it's amazing what it does, you know, and they bring that the positivity and the positive energy always, you know. And mm-hmm. I love that. You know, I love those, to what you're saying about connection. It's like those stories are incredible. You know, they're powerful stories. I think they can help people who are in that similar space. I think it's important to remember where you came from and also how you started too, you know, so you can share that with people and help them learn or not make the mistakes that we made, you know.
I think that's another reason why your podcast is really important.
Yeah. Thanks. Like, so what's next for you? Like, and I know you're up to some things now, because I know my buddy Jeff moved to Toronto, and he's talking about this track night on Fridays, and that's something you're part of, isn't it?
That was just, I mean, I started that with another guy, one of my training partners from Parkdale, and I just love the track, and we never do track workouts. And so I just decided I'm going to take it upon myself. I'm just going to start a track night. When it just started with me and maybe like two or three other people. And I by no means was I trying to build it as like a community track night. That's what it's turned into. People have heard about us. We have so much fun when we go. It's structured. It's not like anything, you know, too crazy. But the idea is that we're pushing each other. We're pushing our own limits. And we on a Friday night, which is an amazing way to start the weekend. So that's just like a little fun project. And, you know, we're doing fun stuff. Like we're creating branding around it, and we're going to have merch just for our members. And, you know, we went from about 4 people to now, I mean, gosh, one night there was like almost 20 something of us.
Nice.
And it feels like it's growing. But it's not, that's never been the goal. Like the goal has always just been for us to just show up and do a workout on Friday night. So I think that's really fun. Other things that are on the horizon for me, Justin, gosh, I hate that I'm putting this out into the world on your podcast.
Okay. Exclusive here.
Damn. No, man, I hate this. This is being recorded, right?
Yeah.
I put my name in for a couple marathons.
Nice.
Next year. Okay. To come out of marathon retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get into London. But
me neither.
I don't think anybody did. But I got
I think they just send rejections to everyone, you know? I think this is really what cruel. Happened.
This is really cruel. Yeah, like I don't know. Yeah, it's really dark what they're creating. A bunch of rejects around the world. Yeah. I put my name in for Berlin and Chicago. So next year, like I said, I'm going to get a coach. If I get into any of those races, I'm going to get a coach. I'm going to do it properly, because I don't want to just do a marathon. I want to like see, if I can, you know, first of all, beat my personal best, which was, gosh, I can't even remember, like 12 years ago. You know, and the energy that's at some of those races, like Chicago is a vibe, man. Lynn is a vibe. Like I just can't wait for those races to like be able to travel somewhere really cool and do a race with people that I care about. So
have you ever been to those places or?
Oh yeah, I have, but I've never raced in them. I've never.
Okay. Berlin is pretty different cool. Vibe. Yeah.
That's what I hear.
Berlin was pretty cool. And I got Chicago there as one that I'd like to do. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe we'll see you there. I don't know. I'm planning a big move, so
okay.
I'll be moving out of Canada actually. So that's also a podcast exclusive.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be moving to Switzerland. So that's,
oh, jeez, no big deal.
Yeah. So, probably beginning of next year. So I'm going to try and, highlight some maybe more local, you know, local, not for me from Canada, but since I'm living there, maybe marathons that I could, circle and travel to, like you were saying, a good excuse to see a different place and travel somewhere new. So yeah. Mm. So I'm going to,
that's great, that, man. But, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's I've never lived anywhere else, so it's going to be interesting, but I'm really looking forward to it. And I really hope you get into one of those races that you'd like to get into. That's,
it's funny.
Marathon's a,
part of me, is, it's a beast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of me feels like ahead. I want to go. Part of me wants to get in, and part of me is like, I'll be so happy if I don't get in. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Cause you love halves so much, right?
I love halves, man. Like, I think they're my jam. And I think like, if I just keep pushing towards like a 130 halftime, then that's going to make me very happy. But hey, you know, I'm open to marathons again. I just thought I never thought that I would say that again, but I am.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'll ask you what you think about this, like this idea, like, cause I think about it even for myself, you know, I'm in the marathons now and that's great, but I don't think I've, you know, hit my times or done my best on shorter stuff yet. I stay in the marathon. Like, what do you think about that? Like, do you think, you know, is it worth it to just go back to the 5K or, you know, or best your mile or 10K for a while? Like, cause similar to you, that's where I started, 10K. And someone's like, oh, you did pretty good, you know, and I'm like, okay, what's the next thing, you know? But, you know, why do we have this tendency to jump to the next thing or the sexy distance, which is the marathon? Mind you, once you're in it, you're kind of screwed. But
I've knelt sexy during a marathon. It's like the it's like the furthest that I've felt from being sexy. But
yeah.
I hear what you're saying. But I think it's that, you know, I've done five, so I feel like, okay, I got that checked off. So I don't feel like I need to do it, which is the way a lot of people think about it. Like, they have to do it because it's very few people in the world do it. So right. Totally understand that.
Yeah.
But now I think that there's something about this idea of like mastery, right? And so I think mastery can come during a half marathon. More than it can come even in a 5K, and more than it can come even in a marathon. 5Ks are too quick for me. Like, I can't even get into a rhythm. I don't get into that sweet spot at least until 10K. So that's why 5K and 10Ks aren't. I don't even do those races. But half marathons is where I can settle in. I can get into a breathing pace and cadence, and then my legs just start moving, and then it just feels like automatic. Marathons, not so much. So I think, I don't know if that answers your question, but I think that that's, for me personally, like there's something around the half marathons that just works with how my body works and how I've conditioned myself to racing. And I also like being able to walk the next day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If we can be really honest here.
Yeah. I don't like that. You always know. Just... the marathon versus the half marathons, when you see people after the race and they're like holding on to the railings going downstairs for dear life, you know, like, okay. Yeah.
I think Quentin said it, and he said, like, it's right there in the name. Like, you only did half of it. So, like,
damn you, Quentin.
Like, why would I do a half when I could do a full? Like, it's only half of what it should be.
You know? Damn you, Quentin. I love you to death, but you're so unfortunately like, right.
5K, 10K, marathon, and then they cut it in half.
Oh, man. Like, wow. That's got to be wow. And how about that? How about that? Justin, we need to rename the half marathon so it doesn't sound like, oh, yeah. you're half as good as anybody else.
Yeah, it's got to be independent, you know? It's
got to have its own. Okay. Work like, on that, Justin.
It, like, belittles it, you know? It's horrible.
1,000%.
I thought about that, too, you know? That's yeah, funny. No, it's, no, you brought that up. I was like, cracking up, it was so funny. But yeah, hopefully you get there. And yeah, and what do you remember what you love about the marathon? Like, what's the, is there something that draws you back to that distance? I know there's the vibe and the travel and all that stuff, but like,
you so know, the like to the full marathon.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say this, like there like I was saying earlier in the podcast, there is something about shared suffering that brings people together. And I call a couple times where, whether it was me or whether it was me supporting, getting to like the last like 2 or 3 kilometers and either me looking like I'm suffering and then having somebody scoop me up and say, hey, yo, we got this. You're almost there. And then like they literally like bring me under their wing and then we get to the finish line. Or it's me doing that to somebody else where I see somebody else suffering and be like, hey, I don't know your name. I've never seen you before in my life, but we're going to get through this together. And there's something that is so beautiful about that, I see it in many races, but more so in the marathons, because it is a very, very difficult distance. And, and I think, you know, there are a couple people that I've stayed in touch with that I've like exchanged numbers with at the finish line to be like, yo, I don't even know who you are, but we're going to stay in touch for the rest of our lives because we did this together. There's something that's really freaking special about that I
love. Yeah, no, totally. And I, that resonates with me too. Like at the end of the New York Marathon, I was walking next to a guy. His name was Nick, and he's from Toronto too, actually. And we're good friends now because shared that walk out of we didn't even run together, you know? We were just picking up our kits. We asked how each other's races went, and then we became friends, you know? I mentioned the podcast, and he's a big listener, and that's really interesting, actually. You're right about that. It's like there is like some joy there out of the task at hand that we're all trying to face, you know. So, well, after everything you've seen and learned, you know, what's the best advice that you can give
for runners?
Yeah,
man, I don't know. I think it's got to be fun. Like find the group that makes you feel like you can be yourself. And that you can show up who you are. Find the group that distance or whatever it is that you can do, and it feels like you can do it forever. You know, like take the stigma and take the task pieces out of it, and find the joy, whichever it is, and every resource until you can find that if you want to stick to running. Because if I'm never gonna not run, because I found where I need to be. You know, I found that like run cruise is where I need to be. And being a part of cheer groups and like everything that goes along with you know, not only my job but what I do as like a runner myself. Like I'm always trying to. I'm never in that place of like, oh, I got to do this or I got to do that. It's like, nah, let's find the fun in it, because it truly becomes beautiful after that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, it's part of why I do it too. It's, it's always fun. It's fun to practice. It's fun to play, and it's fun to connect. So that's great advice for sure. When it's all said and done, you know, how is it that you would like to be remembered, Rob?
With a smile on my face, to not only happy to cross the finish line, but just like grateful and present. And then as that's done, I'm turning around and then I'm cheering people in so they can see me supporting them. I want to be that support for people.
And I think in the support that you bring, I think you also allow people to support others, you know, in the work that you do, you're creating another, I don't know if it's not generation, but another avenue for that. You know, it's like, it's contagious, you know, that the energy that you provide and give to people, it gives them the power also to do that, you know. It's inspiring work, you know, and I think it sets up for a line of other people to inspire, you know.
I appreciate that, Justin. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, no problem. Well, it's true, you know. I felt that, you know, and you know, we, you know, meeting in Vancouver and Boston. I mean, my first Boston, you guys had a hotel set up for us, and you know, we, what a weekend that was, and great speakers, and you know, about mindfulness and all this stuff. And I left that weekend. It was more than a race, you know, for me. I was, you know, ready to take on the world, take on the next thing. You know, it's what you do and what you allow people, expose people to something that, you know, it's always about, you know, it's exposing them to something that maybe they haven't been exposed to previously, and to learn and to grow through that. And I think that's really remarkable. I'll ask you this. Last question is always, what does running mean to you?
Wow, that's a big last question, Justin. something just in me when you were just saying what you were saying earlier, the idea that like running can be an analogy for how you do things in life, you know, how you connect with people, how you can overcome challenges, how you, you know, understand yourself, your mind, your body, your spirit, and it can be that thing that you can call upon to give yourself the confidence and the courage and the trust that you may need in other parts of your life. So it's not like independent of anything else that's happening for you. It is truly something that you can call upon as a way to remind yourself that you can do hard stuff, that you can do it, that you can train, that you can be disciplined and responsible, and you can have fun all at the same time.
Great answer. Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love asking it because it is a big one, you know, but I save it for the end. So we kind of get through a lot of stuff first, and then, but everyone's response is quite different. I think it makes it unique to you. And I think there's no wrong answer to that one. So where can people find out more about you?
I feel like I have a pretty robust Instagram page that I literally, my Instagram is all about, it's mainly all about my adventures in community. So whether it's with the Food Runners, whether it's with Lululemon, whether it's with Parkdale or any of the work that I'm doing, I mean, I always try to just like tell the inspiring stories of not what I'm doing, but like what I'm doing with everybody else who's doing inspiring stuff. So my Instagram would be where to follow me and see what I'm up to.
So great, man. And I want to thank you again for accepting this invitation, for being open with us and honest with us, and sharing your wisdom around everything you've seen in community and what running has taught you throughout the years. And I wish you the best of luck also in what's coming next, and hopefully you get into those big marathons for next season, and hope to connect with you in person soon.
Yeah, we need to go for a run together at some point.
Absolutely. I'll try and make it down to Toronto maybe for a track night, and we can let it fly.
Awesome.
Take care, Robbie.
Okay. You guys.
Have a good one. Bye-bye. I've been running for a while now, 12 years in fact. It's funny to look back on how I got started and how different things are for me now. I made a lot of mistakes, simply because I didn't know any better. I ran hard every time I went out. I ran longer and fewer days to increase volume. I wasn't recovering as well as I should have, and I didn't prepare long enough for distances I was taking on. What I wish I did from the start was get a coach to help guide me through and teach me the right way. Sound familiar? Well, I learned a lot from those early mistakes, and now I want to help you. Over the last year, I've gradually entered into the world of coaching, helping athletes of all levels reach their goals. It's virtual, interactive, one-on-one training that will help you focus on running so that you can hit your next target. Just shoot me a message at jpugs84 on Instagram with any questions you may have, and we'll take things from there. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to leave your reviews for us on Apple Podcasts or message us directly on Instagram with your comments, feedback, and suggestions for future guests. Now take what you've learned and run with it.
The Rundown is a WRG production, produced by Leslie Woods and Forrest McKay. All the amazing graphics you see on social media are created by Ryan Bondi, and the show is hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.